Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight. Be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Many songs today are written to deceive you. There are many songs that talk about the way. If you listen to this song, you'll find the answer. For Jesus is the truth and life, the way. Here's a song for the men who walk the waters. Here's a song for the men who calm the sea. Song for the man who died for you and me. Here's a song for the man from Galilee. People stand in line to show who they believe in. Then they march their heroes on to victory. But today I'm gonna cast my vote for Jesus. For Jesus is all the world to me. Here's a song for the men who walk the waters. Here's a song for the men who calm the sea. Here's a song for the man who died for you and me. For the man from Galilee. Here's a song for the man who walked the waters. Here's a song for the man who calmed the sea. Here's a song for the man who died for you and me. Here's a song for the man from Galilee. Here's a song for the man from Galilee.
On the last program, I was teaching on the subject where God Himself says that the human beings are God. So what does He mean by that? I will clarify it more today on what this subject is all about. It is clearly written in the book of Psalms that we are gods, but that we shall die like men. But the question is often asked amongst those who preach the gospel, are we like the Most High God? And when we study scripture, it clearly describes what this is all about. And many Christians are confused with this subject. Many Christians have come to the point that they don't even want to figure out who they are in Christ. They kind of believe that if we call ourselves one with God, that we're blaspheming. No, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that we are one with him. We are his brethren. We are one in Christ as he is in the Father. So I want to teach on this subject and clarify who we are in Christ. Many Christians need to understand that once they become born again by the Spirit of God, their spirit has become pure and holy without spot or blemish in the sight of God. And one of these days, when we will be taken into the kingdom of God, we will stand there just as the blood made us, pure and holy without blemish, and will be accepted as part of the family of God. And when we study that, it very clearly describes that we become one with God, that we're going to be creators like God. The Bible teaches us that in the ages to come, he will show us the mysteries of his grace. Will we take the office of the Most High God? Absolutely not. Satan tried that, and he was thrown down to earth. But what does God mean by all of that? In today's message, I will try to describe it, and I want you to pay close attention and you study these scriptures that I will bring forth, so that you may understand and God give you more clarity. One thing I do know, the blood of Jesus has brought me into the kingdom of God, and I am now partaker of that kingdom. I have become part of that family through what Jesus did on the cross for me. So before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I pray, O God, that you will open people's hearts. I know, Lord, that this message may be hard to understand, so you'll give me the grace to bring it forth so that people will understand. Lord God, I have scriptures to explain everything, so you will open ears, open hearts to the truth that I will teach. I thank you for your blessings, and I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first things that we need to understand is that Jesus is one with the Father. In John chapter 8, in verse 58, he tells us, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was talking to the Jewish people, and they wanted to stone him for that, for making himself one with God. And the Bible teaches us, before Abraham was, he was in God. He was God. So what does that mean? And there is a scripture at the end of this message that will give each and every one of us something to think about when it comes to that subject. In Psalms chapter 83 in verse 18, "That man may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth." So that is very clearly written. There is no other God who has the office of God. "Man may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the Most High over all the earth." So the Creator, the Lord God Supreme, rules above everything and everyone. He is over all the earth. He is the Most High. And we need to reverence him as that. But he has also at the same time called us his sons and his daughters. He also calls us the bride of Christ, where we become one with Jesus. In John chapter 17, in verse 5, the Bible teaches us, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The Bible teaches us very clearly here that Jesus knew that he was conscious before he came into this earth. He wasn't some thought in the mind of God, as I heard some people say, and then he was born into this world. No, that's not the case. He simply clearly tells us here that he was conscious, that he was with God, who had the glory, before he came into this earth. It says, before the world was. I know for a fact, I do not remember of myself being conscious of where I was before I was born. My consciousness started when I was born. Actually, a little after I was born, I started to remember and be conscious of stuff. Well, when we look at the little baby, we can clearly see when it's born, it is conscious of what is happening. It starts to cry. It starts to nurse. So then that tells us his consciousness is there when it is born. And I believe his consciousness is there even when that child is in the womb. But do we have any remembrance of our consciousness that we were before we were conceived? No, we don't. But Jesus says he was conscious that he was in the world and had the glory before the world was. So we need to understand these things. We need to make a difference in us and God. But at the same time, we are one in Christ. In John chapter 17, in verse 24, it tells us, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So that is Jesus talking. But before the foundation of the world, he was conscious that the Father loved him. And he asked the Father that he will give, whosoever he will give him, may be with him in that glory. That is awesome when we think about it. We're going to be in that glory which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost have. We have something incredible to look forward to. Listen to what Jesus tells Mary Magdalene after he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene was the first one to see him after he rose from the dead. It says in John chapter 20 in verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So he makes himself one with us. He says, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. How that works, I don't quite understand. But Jesus himself brings us onto the level of where we are once we're born again by the Spirit of God. That is almost too hard to understand and to grasp what he truly means by that. But these are the words of Jesus. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus loves us dearly, and he brought us through his blood into his kingdom, into his fellowship, into his family, unto the Father. Let me tell you, when we study these things, we should begin to understand who we are in Christ here on this earth. There are many Christians who have absolutely no idea who they are when it comes to Christianity. Listen to John chapter 20 in verse 21. This is another scripture that truly intrigues me. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you." He's talking to his disciples. "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whosoever sins you don't forgive, they are not forgiven." Now that is something that is hard to understand. It seems like that Jesus gives us the power to forgive sin. I know that religious organizations use it as something that's totally out of character. But what I believe this means, if we bring the gospel to somebody, we have the power to set him free from his sin. That is forgiveness of sin. Or if we choose not to bring him the gospel, we have the power that he will not be forgiven. I believe that's what the scripture means. So God wants us to understand we have the power to set people free from their sin by bringing the gospel to them. And to close out this part of the program, I have one more scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 22. It tells us, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." That is these are those who turn to Christ for salvation. They shall be made alive. There are sects of cults out there who claim, as in Adam all die, even so Christ will save everybody. No, that's not the case. Only those who choose to be made alive in Christ will have that privilege. It tells us, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, for every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." It says here, afterwards they that belong to Christ at his coming. Not everybody, only they that belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. God the Father give Jesus the authority to bring into subjection all the enemy. Who are the enemy? It is Satan and his cohorts, and those who are Christ rejectors. They become the enemies of God. And there comes a day when they will be put down. They will be put under the feet of God, under the feet of Jesus. And they will have to be separated from God for the rest of eternity. And the Bible teaches us that hell was created, the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. And we can also see all those who reject Jesus Christ are going to be with Satan in that horrible place. The Bible teaches us the books were open and they were judged, every man according to their works. And they were all cast into the eternal lake of fire. When the books will be opened, we the Christians will be judged according to the blood that Christ shed for us. For we will be as holy at the judgment as the blood of Christ can make us, and that is pure and perfect. So I'm asking you today, turn to this Jesus. Give him your life and heart. Don't wait till it's too late, because we know we're fast running out of time. So let the Lord open your heart to this message and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
He is the fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by the world's demands, the pieces are mended with one scarred hand. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must believe. The great physician is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. It's a hand that hung this old world in place. Oh, a hand that was scarred just to give me grace. And to think of him that holds the stars is small enough to mend one broken heart. And when I can't stand, is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. The great physician's touch is a balm that can mend broken hearts with.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 26, there is a very intriguing message that teaches us that Jesus will put himself into subject to God. When we study Scripture, it clearly teaches us that God and Jesus are one. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I and the Father are one. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to. He makes himself one with God. He tells us that he is that Godhead. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. And the Jewish people, they understood that. The I am was God Jehovah. The I am was God the Creator. And for Jesus to come along and say that he was the I am was in their eyes blasphemy. But when we say that we're the I am, no, we're not. We have been grafted into that kingdom. We have been born into that kingdom. We had a beginning once in our consciousness. Jesus himself said that before the foundation of the world was, he was conscious of his glory, and we were not conscious of that glory. I don't remember it. I read in Scripture that we come from the breath of God, but I don't remember being conscious before I was born. My consciousness began when a little after I was born. But when we watch little babies, they are conscious right when they're born. I want you to see, listen to this scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. I will explain this scripture in simple terms here. When Jesus Christ will have put all enemies under his own feet, then Jesus Christ himself will place himself under the authority of God the Father. For it tells us, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that God may be all in all. So this is sometimes very hard to understand. We are in Christ Jesus, and Jesus is in us. Jesus is in the Father. But the scripture teaches us here that Jesus will put himself under the authority of God. How that works, we'll find out when we get there. But how it's written here, it seems very clear that God, the Creator, Jehovah, God the Father, is going to be supreme God over all. So when it comes to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the mystery deepens. This is why we have to be patient and wait for God to reveal these things unto us. So let the Lord open your heart to these incredible truths that are written in Scripture. And for those of you who are not born again, when we look at the signs of the times, when we see what's going on in this world, we know that somehow God is going to do something. There's either going to be a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where many, many people are going to come to Christ, or the one holding back the evil will be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked one be revealed. Either way, I am joyful in being in Christ Jesus, because the best is yet to come for those that call themselves Christian. So open your heart to this message and become a blessing to yourself.
Amen. Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, or to give up. My shame, right?